the series that we've had, Putting Christ in Christmas, and especially Putting Christ in Christians. That's important, right? Putting Christ in Christians. I know a lot of people want us to do that. So I'm going to read from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. This is the same passage that Nevaeh read for us earlier. I'm just going to take a little excerpt from the middle of that. I'm going to start with verse 8. So if you just follow along, it says, "That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger.' Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased.' When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, 'Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord had told us about.'" And so this passage reminds us of the fulfillment of the prophecies that God would send a deliverer, the Messiah, which means the anointed one, the one that they had hoped for centuries. The word Messiah, as uttered here by the angel of the Lord, was one that we're familiar with. But just like anything, when you wait indefinitely, the voice of hope in that coming Messiah begins to just grow dimmer and dimmer over time. Scripture says that a hope deferred makes the heart sick. Maybe there are today relationships and situations that we're waiting to change. And let me tell you, though they hadn't yet seen the Messiah or seen his deliverance, the supernatural event of the angel appearing to them brought instant hope. And it says that they left to go find him in Bethlehem. And I want to tell you today that the world is in need of hope. The world that we live in, if we look at the news, we turn on any cable news show, look at the internet, look what people post on social media, you can see that people need real hope. So this day represents a day of celebration, yes, and rejoicing. But we must remember that even that very day didn't come without trials. It didn't come without suffering. It didn't come with doubts. It didn't come with uncertainty. The way of suffering is tied to our salvation. Look at this. Acts 14:22 says that this is the way they strengthen the believers. They encourage them to continue in the faith, reminding that we must suffer many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. So if you're going through difficulties this Christmas season, you're in good company. So while many of us may be ready to celebrate and rejoice, there are also many who are in the struggle right now. Just yesterday, we learned about Melanie Crane, one of the girls from our congregation, a lady from our congregation, and she had her baby prematurely. It's an amazing, just a year ago on December 9th, we were having a baby prematurely, and all of a sudden, our world was turned upside down. We were living out of the Ronald McDonald House, and spending 98 days at the NICU in Tucson, and you know what that did for us. But I want to tell you that in all of that, there was hope. So just the same, this very day, Melanie Crane is with her newborn baby, Alyssa. She was born 4 pounds, you know, and she has struggled so far keeping her oxygen levels. So even while we're ready to party, we're ready to rejoice, I want us to all just keep in mind there's people out there that have a struggle going on tonight. But that there is a real hope that even in the doubts that those shepherds had, they could hold on to it. They hadn't seen the Savior do anything great. It was just a baby in a manger at that point. But they were like, man, this is going to be good. You know, that's what this Holy Spirit does to us. There's a hope that the world has, and then there's the hope that the Holy Spirit gives. So today I just want to talk about hope, but not hope like the world defines it. You know, there are many words in our language that have lost their meaning, haven't they? Just to give you an example, the word love, right? We use the same word to say, I love ice cream. I love fruitcake. not truly, not really. Flan, I like flan. I love flan. But we can also say I love you to a person, and it's the same words. So we use the same word for a dessert than for a person. So it kind of loses its meaning at times, and we just throw it out there. I love you, I love you, I love you. But what about the word hope? It's a word that we use quite a bit. I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. I hope it doesn't snow on Friday. I guess it's supposed to snow on Friday. It's the Canadians. You brought it with you. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I hope the Steelers win against the Ravens. Doesn't look so good right now. You know, but there's a hope as defined in the scriptures, and it is different. Look at this. It is directly tied to faith. The hope, when we talk about hope as defined in the scriptures, is something that's directly connected to our faith. Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for, the evidence on things not seen. Look at Romans 5:5 in the New Living Translation says it. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. The Steelers made disappointment. They've disappointed me the last 2 weekends, okay? But I want to tell you that the hope that God breathes into us, it does not disappoint us. Come on. It does not. For we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. What is hope? It is the Holy Spirit breathed confidence that tomorrow will be better than today. Let me say that again. That tomorrow will be better than today. That's why we say hashtag, the best is yet to come. Right? Hashtag, the best is yet to come. It's not just a saying to us. It's a reality. Because we know in whom we have placed our hope and our trust. So the New Living Translation showed a shortcoming that we had in our vernacular when we said hope, so they began to translate it as confident hope. Confident hope. That's different, right? There's hope in the Steelers, and then there's the confident hope that we have in the Savior. That what He has said, all the prophecies have been fulfilled up to this point. So we have no reason to doubt that the prophecies that have not yet been fulfilled will come true in the days ahead. Amen? The best is truly yet to come. Romans 15:13 says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you'll overflow with what? Confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. I think we need to say that verse again. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with what? Joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you'll overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So the confident hope that is inside of us allows us to know that no matter how grim things get, nothing can separate us ultimately from the love of God. What is the worst thing that can happen to a believer? Come on, let's just bring it home. Death? Is that really the worst thing that could happen to us? Paul would say, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That is a confident hope. Come on, think about Lazarus. He had been resurrected by Jesus. Do you think he was afraid of death after that? What am I afraid of? If he resurrected me once, he can resurrect me again. Come on, we have a confident hope in our Savior. Confident hope that no matter what I'm going through, I can celebrate tonight. Come on, there might be troubles out there, but you can still hug someone. You can still rejoice. You can still have a great party. You can still give out gifts. You can still give out of yourself to other people because of the confident hope. You can raise a hymn like Paul and Silas, who were in a prison in Philippi, right? They had been beaten up, and here they were singing hymns of thanksgiving to the Lord. And there was an earthquake that came. They had a confident hope. You can stare at the darkest circumstances in the face and grab on by faith the confident hope that all things work for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. And as Pastor likes to say, you can't keep a good man down. You can't keep a good woman down, because confident hope makes the cream rise to the top. Come on, you have the Holy Spirit. If you've received Jesus, the Bible says you've been sealed with the Spirit of the promise. And the seed of confident hope is in each one of you. So let it come out. Let it flourish this Christmas season. Love on someone. Amen? So I close with this. Romans 12:12. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to move on to a time of communion. I'm going to ask a couple of pastoral families. I'm going to ask the Schaefers and the Hostons to come on up as they stand over here with us. I'm going to ask my wife to also come with me. And so what we're going to do communion today is going to be a little different than what we're used to. I'm going to ask you to come as families or as friends if you don't have a family member, and stand, you know, and come up to these tables, and as you grab the elements, I'm going to go ahead and read the passage, and I'm going to pray. And then what you can do, make it meaningful. Gather your family around, and if there's somebody, you know, that doesn't have family, grab them, make them a part of your family. And just in a circle somewhere in the auditorium, have communion together. Just say, today we remember Jesus. Because the confident hope that we have is not that just that a baby was born, is that He would grow up to consummate salvation. Amen? That's why we have the baby there, but we also have a cross up there. That was the hope, that He would pay for our sins and that He would pave the way to heaven. So I'm going to read from Luke chapter 22. Verses 14 to 20, these are the words of Jesus, as written by Luke. It says, when the hour had come, He sat down and the 12 apostles with Him. Then He said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then He took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And He took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. Likewise, He also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in My blood, which is shed for you. So this is what I want you to think. Number one, is that God didn't call us to remember His birth. He figured out that's going to be too easy to them. They're going to do that anyway. But He told us, remember My death. And every time you come to, He didn't tell us how often to do it. He just said, whenever you do this, remember My death. And so as we take, you know, the elements, we take the bread and we take the cup, remember that this represents His body. And think as you have it and make it meaningful how He was beaten for your transgressions. How He was, you know, nailed on a cross and therefore becoming, you know, the perfect payment. And second, as you take the juice, the fruit of the vine, that you remember His blood. Because the Bible says that with that, the spilling of blood, there is no remission of sins. So we must remember that somebody had to spill His blood in order for you to live. Amen? So I'm going to pray, and then you guys can come up. Like I said, as families, you can go to any of these three areas here and to take the elements. Father, we just thank You for the confident hope that we have, Lord God, that what we're doing here, Lord God, has the highest form of meaning, Lord God. We're not just here having just a church service or a religious rite, but we know that this means life to us, eternal life, and to all those who believe. And I pray that even if there's someone here who has not made You their Lord and Savior, that today, Father, after hearing the good news, Father, that they would repent and give their hearts to You, Lord God, or recommit their hearts to You, Lord God, even as we're rejoicing here tonight. Father, that their gift to You this Christmas would be their very own lives. So we pray this in Jesus' name, Lord God, and we thank You for Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Amen.